Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special shiur with the Boca Raton Synagogue Midrashah on this eve of Yom HaZikaron into Yom HaAtzma'ut, Tavshin Pei Beis, on the occasion of Erev, 74th birthday of Medina Yisrael. So for us, it's still the day, it's still Yom HaZikaron. Tonight becomes Yom HaAtzma'ut into Yom HaAtzma'ut tomorrow. It's actually a Nidcha day. It's really supposed to be 5 year. The day itself is actually the 5th year, but to prevent Maaseh Chilul Shabbat becomes a Nidcha, and it is observed on Thursday in the state of Israel. Oh, there's Rabbi Shabtai. You have to wait a minute, please. I'm sorry. I just need a. Okay, it was okay what I did. I wasn't sure I was waiting to hear from him. Fine. Okay, let's go. Okay. So my shiur tonight is going to be on Yom HaZikaron, which is Yom HaZikaron L'Chayilei Tzahal, Remembrance Day for the Fallen, IDF soldiers and security forces, as well as the victims of terror. Here we go. Yom HaZikaron Tavshin Pei Bet. Thursday night, June 20th, 2002. The terrorists arrived in Itamar shortly after 9 p.m. and started shooting in all directions. Then they broke into a civilian home and murdered Rachel Chabot, who was 40, along with three of her children, Neria, 15, Tzvika, 12, and Avishai, 5. One of the terrorists shot and seriously injured Asael, 10, and Aviyah, 13. This is actually when I was preparing shiur about 20 years ago, June 20th, 2002. The settlement security unit was alerted to the site as soon as they heard the gunfire. The security unit was the first team to exchange fire with the terrorists and the first team that attempted to rescue civilians who were trapped in the house after Rachel and three of her children had been murdered. Yosef Tweedo, 31 years old and father of 5, who commanded the security squad, was attempted to rescue the civilians, and he was killed by the Palestinian terrorists who barricaded themselves in the house. I remember when Rachel Chabot was killed, along with Neria, Tzvika, and Avishai. It was Thursday night, Erev Shabbat, and she was in the middle of baking a cake, and the cake batter was still on the kitchen table. At 8 p.m. Tuesday evening, last night, May 3rd, 2022, sirens sounded nationwide as Israel began a day of mourning for the country's 28,284 fallen soldiers and victims of terror. On Yom HaZikaron 5782, the total number of those who have died during service to the country since 1860 is 24,068. The number of terror victims who perished in attacks since Israel was established in 1948 is 3,199. Counting from the early days of Zionism in 1851, the total number of terror victims stands at 4,216. And so altogether, the Sach HaKol Tashlum is 28,284. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Lam and Zion Aleph, Kol ha-matzil nefesh achas Yisrael, ki'ilu hitzil olam malei, v'chol ha-ma'abed nefesh achas Yisrael, ki'ilu ibed olam malei. Every person is a whole entire world. Whoever saves a life is as if he saved a world, and whoever destroys a life, it's as if he destroyed an entire world. And not only is it 28,284 individuals, but it is the ripple effect of all the people, their families, their loved ones, who have been affected by these losses. The Passover massacre, if you remember in Netanya, was a suicide bombing carried out by Hamas at the Park Hotel in Netanya, Israel, on Pesach, March 2002, during the Passover Seder. That means it was just the 20th Yahrzeit. 30 civilians were killed in the attack. 140 were injured. The eldest victim was 90, the youngest 20. On the morning of 18 November 2014, two Palestinian terrorists from Jerusalem entered the Kehilat B'nai Torah synagogue in the Har Nof section of Jerusalem. They attacked praying congregants with axes, knives, and a gun. America's Harav massacre occurred on 6th of March 2008, in which a Palestinian gunman shot multiple students at the America's Harav yeshiva. 8 students were murdered. 11 were wounded, 5 of them in serious to critical condition. On March 9th, 2002, A Palestinian suicide bomber entered the Cafe Moment shop in the Rehavia neighborhood of Yerushalayim at the corner of Rehov Aza and Rambam Street, situated about 100 meters from the Prime Minister residence. At this time, it was one of Jerusalem's most popular centers of recreation. He entered the Cafe Moment hotel, cafe. The suicide bomber detonated his explosives. The force of the blast completely destroyed the shop, instantly killing 11 and injuring 54, 10 of them severely. On June 1st, 2001, a terrorist blew himself up outside the Dolphinarium discotheque on the beachfront in Tel Aviv, Israel, killing 21 Israelis, 16 of whom were teenagers. The majority of the victims were Israeli teenage girls from families who had recently immigrated from the former Soviet Union. On November 2015, hundreds of people paid their last respects at the Jerusalem funeral home for Hadass Buchris, 21, who was killed in a stabbing attack at the Gush Etzion Junction. Said her father, Aryeh, in his eulogy, "Our dear, beautiful Hadar, so smart and sensitive. You had a big heart. Everything was still ahead of you. You wanted to accomplish so much. We are devastated by your tragic passing, Hadar. You left us shocked and in pain. We can hardly bear it. You are larger than life. The pain is so immense, but we will be strong. We will continue to unite the family more than ever. We will never stop missing you and thinking about you." On 22 October 2014, a Palestinian rammed his car into a group of people waiting at Ammunition Hill Light Rail Station in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in East Jerusalem. Chaya Zisel Braun was 3 months old. She had both American and Israeli citizenship. As her mother was exiting the train, the stroller was hit directly by the car, which accelerated into the crowd, killing her instantly. If you recall, Chaya Zisel was returning from her first ever trip to the Kota Hama'aravi. She was also born after her parents waited years after infertility. We can't even take hearing this. It's a fraction, a drop in a huge bucket in an ocean of tears. Ali Rez Peretz, Uriel Peretz, Halal Yafa Ariel, Hadar Golden, Oren Shaul, Ron Arad, Eli Koh, Nava Applebaum, David Applebaum, Eli Kay, Ezra Schwartz, Ari Full, Diakov Lippman, Natana Lippman, Malki Roth, Kobe Mandel, Yossi Ishran, Ayal Gilad and Naftali, Yaakov Don. They were young and they were old. They were men and they were children. They were women and they were babies. They were singles. They were couples. They were expectant mothers. They were Haredi, Chiloni, Hasidic. They were Sabras and Olim. They were left-wing peaceniks and right-wing. They were from Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Be'er Sheva, B'nei Brak, Gush Etzion. The attacks were on the streets, in Batei Knesset, in schools, in cars, in supermarkets, in yeshivot, in schools from the north to the south, and from the east to the west. Hashem Yimkom Damam. The Pasuk says in Megillas Eicha, Lamentations, the Book of Lamentations, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ma'aideich, ma'adamelach, habas Yerushalayim. What shall I testify to you? What can I compare to you, O daughter of Jerusalem? Ma'ashavalach v'anachameich. What can I liken you to that I may comfort you? Besulas bat Zion, the virgin daughter of Jerusalem. Ki gadol kayam shivreich mi yerpelach. Your brokenness is as vast as the sea. Who can heal you? I'm going to repeat the pasuk without interrupting for a translation now that I translated it. Ma'aideich, ma'adamelach, haba Yerushalayim, ma'ashavelach, va'anachameich, besulas bat Zion, ki gadol kayam shivreich, mi yerpelach. After her son Uriel was killed in battle, Uriel was born in 1976 and he was killed in 1998. His mother Miriam Peretz, says that she adopted this as her personal statement. Ki gadol kayam shivrech. The brokenness of the losses in Medina Israel. The price we pay for a Jewish state in our ancient homeland is as vast as the brokenness of the sea. Mir Pelach, who can possibly heal you? Last year, at the official state ceremony that opened up the Yom HaZikaron ceremony at the Kotel Maravi, 5781-2021, marking the beginning of Yom HaZikaron, the IDF Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Aviv Kochavi, delivered a short speech entitled Three Mothers. It was widely celebrated throughout of Israel. Here is an abridged English translation. I thank a friend who forwarded me the Mizrahi email, and this was part of it, and it's extremely powerful. Said Lieutenant General Aviv Kochavi last year on the eve as Yom HaZikaron was ushered in. The journey home of the Jewish people to its land from all corners of the world is an unprecedented event in world history. We must remind ourselves that it is a miracle, even though we take Israel's existence for granted. I say that I don't know a world without Medina Israel. My children, Baruch Hashem, do not know a world without Medina Israel. My grandparents knew well a world without Medina Israel. My grandfather lay on the barracks, and he writes in his memoirs, we lay on the barracks after a hard day of slave labor. We spoke continuously about the murderers, that they are sent by God. Whoever survives this hell, we said, will live to see a Jewish state. Whoever survives this hell will live to see the Mashiach. We take it for granted that we can buy a ticket, go on the plane, and be in our ancient homeland. We must remind ourselves, says Lieutenant General Aviv Kochavi, that it is a miracle, even though we take her existence for granted. But the story of our people and of our land is also a story of individuals, young and old, fathers and mothers, and is about three mothers that I wish to speak about today. The first mother that I will speak about is Rachel Imenu, who did not have a chance to live in this land. She arrived at the land, but she died shortly afterwards without meriting to live in it. And her children were exiled generations later. They passed by her grave, and the prophet tells us, the prophet Yirmiyahu, and General Lieutenant General Kochavi quoted the Navi, Kol b'ramah nishma nehi b'chi tamrumim, Rachel mevaka al b'naa, me'ana lehinachem al b'naa ke'enena, voices heard on the high, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel cries for her children, for they are no longer. She refuses to be comforted. Her cry was heard, however, and the Navi promises, mini kolich mi bechi ve'inayich mi dima, stop your voice from crying and your eyes from tears. There is reward for your work. They will return from the land of the enemy. The children will return to their borders. Rachel may not have lived in the land, but God promised her children would one day return. Our people lived the majority of history outside the land of Israel, where we were powerless and persecuted. And yet Medina Yisrael has fundamentally changed the situation with incredible determination, said Lieutenant General Kochavi. And with despite enormous challenges, waves of Jews began to return to Israel, forming a new society and the state of Israel. We are the Banim Sheshavu Legvulam. We are the sons of Rachel who have returned to the land. We have returned to remain here forever. But the journey home has come with an unbearable price. Which brings us to the second mother I wish to speak about. Nechama left her home in the Ukraine, and together with her husband Yosef, who fled Nazi Austria, they made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. They changed their last name to Yisraeli, and they set up their home in Kibbutz Dovrat, a home filled with Zionism and Jewish values. Nechama had five children, two of them boys, Effie and Dedi, the closest of brothers. Effie was an officer in the IDF, and then he became a trainer in the tank course. Daddy followed his brother, and he was in Effie's tank course training course. And then the Yom Kippur War broke out, and both brothers were sent to the Sinai Desert. On the second day of war, Daddy's tank was hit by a missile. Despite the fact that he was severely burned all over his body, he returned to the tank to rescue another crew member, and only then was he taken to the hospital. His brother Effie, however, remained in the battlefield, but on the 12th day of war, when the IDF was fighting on the west bank of the Suez Canal, Effie was struck and he was killed. Yosef and Nechama Yisraeli received the dreaded knock on the door, the knock that too many Israeli families have experienced, and they were told the news of Ephraim's death. Daddy was alone in the hospital, and despite his serious burns, his situation began to improve. He was shielded from the news of his brother's death. He was so weak, but after a few days, his father Yosef entered the room, and he said, "Abba, I managed to write a letter to Effie." Yosef, who recently lost his son, was silent, and then he said, "There is no one to send the letter to. Effie is no longer." Daddy sunk into sadness. He stopped fighting for his life, and he too died. Two mothers, Rachel and Nechama, cried over the fate of their children. One of the mothers, Rachel, was unable to live in the land, but she has promised her sons will return to the land. The other mother, Nechama, lived in the land, but for that right she paid the unbearable price of her two sons. "I would not dare to say to Nechama, mini kolich mi bechi, ve'einaich mi dima. I would not dare tell her, stop your voice from crying and your eyes from tears, but I will rely on the words of the prophet, and I will say, yesh schar lepulatech, yesh tikva la'acharitech. There is reward for your effort. There is hope for the end. There is a reward, and who is that reward? The third mother, who benefits from the reward. Who is the third mother? I do not know her name, but this third mother represents the countless mothers who fill our land. These mothers have built families, and they and their children have built Medina Israel. They are religious mothers and secular mothers. They are mothers from the cities and mothers from the villages. They have children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And they are able to live securely in the land because of the sacrifices of the first two mothers. On behalf of the IDF, I salute all of the bereaved families, all of the mothers, all of the fathers, the widows, the siblings, the orphans as one. You are honored with deep gratitude. I salute, embrace, and support you with all my heart. You are an example of strength and resolve, and you serve as an ongoing testament to the power of our nation, that when we work together, we have strength for what matters the most. As Nechama, the second mother, said, only days after losing both sons, if there are no values to dedicate life to, then life itself has no value. May the memory of our fallen boys and girls be a blessing for all of Am Yisrael. When we were in Israel in the summer of 2019, the summer before COVID, my family, I've spoken about it many times, we took a guided tour with an excellent tour guide, Tahar Herzl, not the Herzl Museum. I've never been there. I hear it's very good. I was just never there. I don't know. But to the graves on Har Herzl, of many different soldiers and many different stories. And we stood at the graves of the Peretz boys, Miriam Peretz's two sons, Uriel and Eliraz. And of course, it was extremely, exceptionally moving. Miriam Peretz says her father, Miriam Peretz was an Olah from Morocco as a child. She says her father didn't know any Hebrew. He only knew how to say Yerushalayim. And he would never have imagined that whose two grandsons would be buried on Har Herzl. Miriam Peretz says Har Herzl is her home. There are 2 meters that separate the grave of Uriel from the grave of Eliraz. And every time she goes, she has to choose. Which child should I go to first? Eliraz? He was killed in 2010. He left a wife, Shlomit, and 4 children. Or Uriel? When she is with Uriel, she feels Eliraz saying, "Ima, how could you leave me?" And when she is with Eliraz, she hears Uriel saying, "Ima, how could you leave me?" She says every time she walks from one grave to the next, it is as if she has to cross Yam Suf. And yet her book is entitled Shirat Miriam, the Song of Miriam. She says that after Miriam Hanaviah led the Jews across the Yam Suf, Miriam led the woman in song, quote, "One sings when there is a miracle." She says every morning when she wakes up, she can see, she's alive, she can hear, this is a miracle. And so every day she gives thanks to God. Every day she thanks him because being alive is a miracle. "I love God," she said. I'm not just quoting from her book. I heard her speak a number of years ago in Woodmere and I took notes. "I love him so much. It is easy to love God when things are easy. It is hard to love him when things are not easy." Miriam says if there is one word she could hear again from her sons, it would be Ima. If you are fortunate that someone calls you Ima, that is the greatest blessing. When Uriel came home from the army, she would pick out thorns. Uriel was killed in the north in a battle with Hezbollah in 1998. and Ali Raz was killed in the south in a battle with Hamas in the Gaza Strip. When Uriel would come home from the army, she would pick out thorns that were stuck to him from his uniform, from his skin. She did not throw them out. She saved all the thorns in a jar. She says that when she goes up and she finally meets God, she will present him with a single thorn from her son Uriel. And she will say to God, quoting her son Uriel, "With the total amount of thorns and plants that entered my body, it is possible to build a flower bed meter by meter long. But these are not just ordinary thorns. They are thorns of Eretz Yisrael." The day is called, the most somber and serious day in Medinat Yisrael by and large. The radio stations and TV stations have special programming. The places of entertainment are closed. Thousands and thousands flock to the cemeteries, military and otherwise. My son said that the teacher who started the program in Hink this morning said it was an excellent program this afternoon, not this morning. And she said that it's almost impossible in Israel to find an Israeli family who is not touched in some way by either a war or a terror attack unaffected on Yom HaZikaron. It's interesting, and I want to talk now, I want to move to a fantastic piece by Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. I first read this piece, Baruch Hashem, my family, and I was zocheh to be in Eretz Yisrael for two amazing weeks over Chag HaPesach, Udo Hashem, Kito, Kido, and Chasto. And I took the Jonathan Sacks Haggadah, as it's called, and in the back there are essays. I was reading an essay that I had never come across before, and while I was reading it, I did not have any shiurim over those 2 weeks. And while I was reading, I thought, this is so fantastic and unbelievable, and it's so apropos for Yom HaZikaron. Excuse me, it's so apropos for Yom HaZikaron. And so I want to share it with you. It's called History and Memory. What is the difference between history and memory? What do we focus on as Jews? History or memory? The day is called Yom HaZikaron. Zachor, to remember, memory. "Once at a dinner," says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichor al-Vracha, "I found myself sitting next to a famous opera singer. What I envy you for, he said, is your gift of history. I know nothing about my great-grandparents, but you have a history that goes all the way back. So strong is our sense that we go all the way back, that Benjamin Disraeli, he was born a Jew, but baptized by his father as a child, even referred to it in one of his most famous replies in Parliament. In 1835, the Irish Catholic politician Daniel O'Connell made a slighting reference to Disraeli's Jewish ancestry." Remember, he was baptized, so he wasn't even technically, according to him and his family, a Jew anymore. "And yet, a member of Parliament in 1835 made a derogatory comment, and this Disraeli replied, 'Yes, I am a Jew.' And when the ancestors of the Right Honorable Gentleman were brutal savages in an unknown island, my ancestors were priests in the Temple of King Solomon." Where does it come from, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, this Jewish consciousness of the past? The prophets of Israel were the first people to see God in history. The ancient world, the world of myth, saw the presence of God in nature, in the unchanging rhythm of the seasons, in the fearful dislocation of flood, famine, and storm. The revolution of ancient Israel was to see God not in nature, but above nature, utterly transcendent. We know, I would just tell you that the word Hateva equals Elohim in Gematria. I first heard that from Rabbi Zev Lef. Hateva, nature, equals Elohim with a hey, which I'm not going to say, in nature. Because God created nature. God is not found in nature. God is above nature. He is utterly transcendent. Yet he reveals himself to mankind in the form of a call to build a different kind of society. Am Yisrael is called upon to build a different kind of society. And so Israel knows God, not by contemplating the sun and the stars. That's how people became Ovdei Kochavim. Look at the Rambam's biography of Avraham Avinu, Hilchos Ovdei Kochavim, Perek Aleph, Halachos Aleph, and Beis. People contemplated the sun and the stars, and so they got on a detour, and they went off the Darach, and they forgot about God. But we directly know God through our past, where other faiths, ancient and modern, So our religion is a flight from history into a world without time. They saw religion as a flight from history into a world without time. Judaism sees time as the arena where God and mankind meet. Time, and it's so true, by the way. Next week's parsha, Emor, goes to all the chagim. The mo'ed, says Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch, mo'adim l'simcha, mo'ed tov. Mo'ed is an important time to meet God. Atah tachim terachim tzion ke'eseh chanan akiva. Mo'ed, kapitol kuf beis of Tehillim, shall get up and comfort Zion because the time has come. Mo'ed is a time to meet God. Judaism sees time as the arena where God and mankind meet. Three quarters of the Hebrew Bible is made up of historical narratives. Jews were the first to make the momentous claim that history has meaning. It is not merely a sequence of disconnected events. History is a long story of humanity's response to the voice of God as it echoes in the conscience of mankind. But listen to what he says next. I'm going to say my own words first. What's more important to us, history or memory? If you know this piece for Rabbi Sacks, so you know the answer. What is more important to us, history or memory? Where is Am Yisrael founded, in our history or in a memory? What is the difference between the two? And how does one ensure the survival of a nation throughout time? Listen to this. Biblical Hebrew has no word for history. Modern Hebrew had to borrow a word. What is it? Historia. A few who are screen two, whose screens are open, I could see you, Amalki, saying historia. There, what is historia? It's not a Lashon HaKodesh word. It's not an Hebrew word. It's an English word. It's history with a historia, because we had to borrow a word. We had to find something to say. So when you teach the kids in class, they're learning historia. This is unbelievable. It is remarkable, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, that biblical Hebrew has no word for history. Modern Hebrew had to borrow a word, historia. The key word of the Hebrew Bible is not history, but memory, zachor. The command to remember occurs time and again, over and over, in our Torah. He gives us a couple of examples. Remember the earliest days from Hazinu, Zachor Yemos Olam, Binu Shnos Dor Dor. Zachor Esoshar Salacha Amalek, Baderech Betzeischam Mitzrayim. Remember from Micha, while Balak, the king of Moab, plotted against you. But I thought of another one that he doesn't say, Zachor Esoshar Salacha Melkechel Miriam. With equal insistence, there is the command not to forget. When it comes to Amalek, Zachor 25:17-19 in Devarim, and how does it end? Lo tishkach. There is no word for history, but the command to remember occurs over and over and over again. In fact, the word zachor in one form or another occurs no fewer than 169 times in the Hebrew Bible. There's no word for history, yet Zechira, Zachor, Yom HaZikaron is so important to Am Yisrael. The word occurs no less than 169 times in the Hebrew Bible. As Yosef Chaim Yerushalmi notes, I'm sorry, I don't know who that is, I'm quoting Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. Only in Israel and nowhere else is the injunction to remember felt as a religious imperative to an entire people. Only in Israel and nowhere else is the injunction to remember felt as a religious imperative. It is part of our religious identity and destiny, zachor. It is a religious imperative to an entire people. Only the family of Hadar Buchris has to remember Hadar Buchris. Only the Fogel family has to remember baby Hadas, who was in her mother's arms and they slit her throat. Or everyone has to remember Ezra Schwartz. Everyone has to remember Ari Fold. Only the family of Effie Ephraim and Daddy, his brother, have to remember. Or we all have to remember. Only in Israel and nowhere else is the injunction to remember felt as a religious imperative to the entire people. This is Moses' injunction to future generations. Hishamar lecha ma'or u'shmar nafshecha. pen tishkach es hadvarim asher ra'u einecha upen yasurun levavecha v'hodatun levanecha levanei v'necha yom esher amadat al lefnei Hashem akacha b'choriv. Remember Matan Torah, do not forget. Jews were to become a people of memory. Interestingly, he points out something I spoke about last year in a different class. The word zachor, to remember, is the same as the word male, M-A-L-E. Female is nekeva and male is zachor, right? Zachor and nekeva. It's the same, you can't help but notice, not only is it the same shoresh, it's the same word as zachor, to remember. Rav Shimon Schwab gives a different answer. Rav Shimon Schwab in his Mayim Beis HaShoeva and Chumash says it's because the man, through impregnating the female, leaves his remembrance in the seed. In that moment of the act, when the female conceives, conception, the moment of relations, he leaves his mark, his zechira, on the child. He is a zachor who leaves a zechira through the child who will be born. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks said something else. The word zachor, male, comes from the same root as zachor, to remember. There are two dimensions to Jewish identity. There is biology, conferred by the mother, and there is culture, conferred by the father. And Jewish culture is passed down by the father in his role as storyteller. He is guardian of the people's past, which he is charged with handing down to his children. Zachor. It is the father, the zachor, the male's responsibility to ensure that his children will always remember Yom HaZikaron. By telling the stories of our past, we are the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. We are part of the covenantal family. There is an identity that goes back not to the patriarchs and the matriarchs, but to Mount Sinai. This is the function ascribed to the fathers. They are charged with giving the children identity that comes through memory. My predecessor points out, ready? This is another Givaldic insight. So first of all, there's no Hebrew word for history. We had to borrow one. It's historia. That means we don't have history, we have memory, which means we still have to uncover what's the difference between history and memory. Okay, I'll just give a little sneak preview because we started late due to some confusion with the Zoom room. History is something that happened to somebody else. It's history. The Arch of Titus is history. It happened to someone else. It has nothing to do with me. I learn about the French Revolution. I learn about the Boston Tea Party. I learn about the American War of Independence. Memory is something that you remember. If you remember, it means it happened to you. I, Baruch Hashem, remember what I did on Pesach in Israel. I remember going to Har Herzl in 2019 and standing at the graves of different soldiers. I remember the grave of Shlomo Alman, who died, who was killed. I remember standing by the memorial to Chana Senesh. If I remember, it means I was there. It means it happened to me. If it's history, it's not about me. Are we rooted in history or are we rooted in memory? We're rooted in memory because the story of one Jew is the story of every Jew. And if it happened to you, it happened to me. And if Netanel Litman was shot dead with his father on the way to the Shabbat Chatan, Yaakov Litman, then it happened to me, not just them. I remember because it's not your story. It's my story. 1 second, did I skip where he says that? 1 second. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says so brilliantly. Here we go. Oh, not yet. He points out something tremendous. When we remember the deceased, we use the word yizkor. The Hebrew word zachor signifies more than a consciousness of the past. My predecessor, Lord Jacobovitz, pointed out the word yizkor, the name given to the traditional Jewish prayer for the dead, is in the future tense. Yizkor, he will be remembered. Am I talking about something that happened in the past or something that happened in the future? Vayizkor Elokim et Noach, v'chol asher yitov b'teva, v'yishoko amayim. Vayizkor Elokim et Avram, v'yizkor Elokim et Rachel. God remembered Noach, so he saved him. God remembered Abram, so he saved Lot. God remembered Rachel, so he gave her a child. Quote, how profound this is for Yom HaZikaron. Yizkor is the future. Shouldn't it be the past? I remember the dead in the past. Why do I be talking about remembering the dead for the future? We remember for the sake of the future. Jewish memory is for the sake of future life. Yizkor means to remember what they gave, what they sacrificed, what they lost, but to use it as an impetus to build forward, to march into a hopeful future. Yesh schar lepu'udateich v'shavu me'aretz oyev. Yesh tikva la'achariteich v'shavu banum l'gvulam. There's no word for history in Lashon HaKodesh, but the Hebrew Bible uses the word Zachor more than 169 times. Here we go. There's a profound difference, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, between history and memory. History is quite literally his story. History, it's his story. An event that happened to someone else somewhere else. Memory is my story. And if I have a memory, it's my story. It happened to me. It's part of who I am. History is merely information. Memory is part of my identity. Zachor is part of who I am. Because if all Jews are interconnected and all generations are interconnected, then when I remember, I testify that I'm part of a national destiny. And it's all of us. It's not something that happened to someone else that I'm learning about. It's not external to who I am. If I actually remember something that happened to you, Yom HaZikaron is a day of all of us. History is information. Memory, by contrast, is part of identity. I can study the history of other people, cultures, and civilizations, but they do not make a claim on me. There, the past is the past. Memory is the past as present. Memory lives on in me. A nation has continuing identity to the extent that it can remember where it came from and who its ancestors were. A nation has continuing identity when it remembers where it came from and who its ancestors were. A nation has continuing identity when it remembers the fallen. A nation has continuing identity when their story is my story. A nation has continuing identity when we embody the value of Zachor, not Historia, that's external to I am. Yizkor, we remember the past to build in the future. The achievement, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, of a free and just society. The achievement of a free and just society. By the way, this piece is not talking at all about Yom HaZikaron. It's on the back of the Pesach Haggadah. But it so profoundly relates to the power of this day. The achievement of a free and just society is the work, not of a moment. It is the work of many generations. Think of Medina Israel as I read this to you. The achievement of a free and just society is the work not of a moment. It is the work of generations. Israel, meaning the nation, must experience exile before it can fully understand the concept of home and freedom. Israel must undergo slavery if it is to long with all its being for freedom. It must walk through the valley of the shadow of death in the bones. It must walk through the valley of the shadow of death to know in its bones the sanctity of life. The achievement of a free and just society is the work not of a moment. It is the work of many generations. Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav, says, through the long, dark night of Galus, the Jews had one hope, one dream, one longing, and one aspiration. L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim habnuya. The achievement of a free and just society is not the work of one moment, it is the work of generations. Israel must experience exile before it understands the concept of a home. It must undergo slavery before it understands the concept of freedom. Quote, our nation must walk through the valley of the shadow of death to know in our bones the sanctity of life. When you go to Har Herzl and you see the thousands of graves and the rows of matzevos and the ages and the names, you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But if we want to know the sanctity of life, it comes at a price. And that is why the covenant is essentially linked to education and memory. Our journey is long. The journey of Am Yisrael is longer than many lifetimes. It's unbelievable. Listen carefully. And only when each generation hands on to the next what it has heard and what it has learned and what it has prayed for does the journey continue. And only if the journey continues is history redeemed. Oh my gosh. Repeat again. The achievement of a free and just society is the work, not think of Medina Israel, think of the Shivat Zion, think of the flowers that bloom, the trees that are growing, the Shemitah farmers in the land, the tourist sites, the archaeological sites, the holy sites. Think of the Medina, our new land, in our ancient homeland. Think of my grandfather, who left us memoirs called In Seven Camps in 3 Years, and the Nazis marched into Poland in September of 1939. Whose wife and daughter, 18 months old, were killed. Think of his whole family who perished. Think of what he wrote, and he said, whoever survives this hell will live to see a Jewish state. The achievement of a free and just society is the work not of a moment, but of many generations. Israel must experience exile before we can understand the concept of home. We must undergo slavery before we can appreciate freedom. We must walk through the valley of the shadow of death to know in our bones the sanctity of life. And so our covenant is linked to education and memory. Our journey is long. It is longer than many lifetimes. But when each generation hands on to the next what it has heard, what it has learned, what it has prayed for, does the journey continue. And only if the journey continues is history redeemed. History has meaning only for those who believe in its meaning. To be a Jew, I skipped a lot from the essay, a lot. But I chose the key nekudos that I wanted to relate to Yom HaZikaron. To be a Jew is to know that over and above history is the task of memory. To be a Jew is to know that over and above history, his story, textbooks, ancient times, old civilizations that have come and gone, that's history. Monuments, statues. Memory is something that happened to me. Memory is something I live through, something I experience, something that's part of me and I will hand on to my children. History is his story. Memory is my story. There is no word in Lashon HaKodesh for history, but the Bible uses memory, Zachor, 169 times. And, says Laura Jacobovitz, Yizkor is the future. But I'm talking about people who are dead. We remember the past to build a future. Yesh schar lepu'ulateich. Yesh tikva la'acharitech. V'shavu me'eretz oyev. Think of Hadar Gordon. Think of Oron Shaul. Think of Eli Cohn. Think of Ron Arad. They are not even zocha to kavur Yisraeli. Think about them on Yom HaZikaron. Think about them when you light the candles. Think of their mothers, their children, their fathers. It's not his story. It's my story. More than any other faith, Judaism has made memory a matter of religious obligation. Memory is the chapter we write in our own lives, and it is the story that we tell our children. When she received the Israel Prize 4 years ago on the 70th anniversary of Medina Israel, Miriam Peretz spoke. It is considered by many to be one of the greatest speeches in the country's history. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand humbly before my colleagues, honorable people who created, wrote, and invented. I stand before you, our people of vision, creation, people of faith. I am not worthy. I don't have a creation. I can't point to a revelation I made or a formula I cracked. All I have is a heart that was broken 3 times. The loss of my eldest son, Uriel, in battle in Lebanon. The death of my husband, Eliezer, at the age of 56 due to a broken heart. And the loss of my second son, Eli Raz, in battle in Gaza. And with this broken heart, I come to my nation in simple words, the language of a broken heart. I speak of this land. I speak of our legacy. We must choose goodness, happiness, devotion to life, responsibility, social involvement. And out of this heart, which beats with faith in this country and this nation, out of great depths of pain flow springs of love. And the heart is full of faith. It can withstand the greatest challenges. I have turned my grief into a new melody. Said Miriam, we know where we came from, and we know to where we are going. May the neshama of the 28,000, the number's too staggering to comprehend, 284 fallen soldiers and victims of terror have a zechira letova. May we be zocha to the ultimate fulfillment of the promise to Rachel Imenu from the prophet Yirmiyahu. V'shavu me'eretz oyev, v'shavu banim legvulam. May we be zocha to see Medina Yisrael b'shalom for many, 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 many years to come. And like they say when they light the torches tonight on Har Herzl, l'tif erat Medinat Yisrael. And Chag Atzmut Sameach. I thank you for joining me. I thank Boker Haton Synagogue. I thank the Ribono Shalom for the gift of a state that we are able to take for granted. Barech Medina Yisrael. Reishit Smicha Kulateinu. Thank you so much. Chag Atzmut Sameach. Have a wonderful evening and Shabbat Shalom. Kol Tov. Thank you to all.